James chapter 2, starting at verse 8, reading through to verse 13. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the law, the whole law, but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act, and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I want to start by, I guess, reminding most of us, I'm sure most of us have seen or read or seen the musical Les Miserables, but I want to start by reminding us of a very famous scene there. Jean Valjean is a criminal. The whole film starts with him coming towards the end of his 19-year prison sentence for stealing bread to feed a starving nephew. He re-enters society, but he's rejected by everyone he encounters. But a kind bishop takes him in and gives him food, wine, and a place to sleep. But Valjean repays him by stealing the bishop's silver. And he runs away in night time. The authorities, the policemen in France, catch him and bring him and the silver back to the bishop. And the bishop comes to him and tells the authorities that he had given the silver to Jean Valjean, these valuable silver candlesticks. He forgives him and then challenges to become an honest man because he says, "I have bought your soul for God." I want us to know today, as a result of this little time we're going to spend in this passage, that we are like Jean Valjean. That is what we're like. And we have been forgiven like him, and so we're to live like it. That's the whole point of today. We're like Jean Valjean, we've been forgiven, so live like it. Because there's a great law, a great rule that's been broken by us. And that law is there in verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself, you're doing well. Now, we like laws, I think, in this country. I was driving over here from my parents' house this afternoon, and as I was driving along, I was thinking about this and thinking, laws are good, aren't they? Because I'm driving at, 70 miles an hour, because they've told me that that's a safe speed to drive at, and that keeps me safe, I assume, because everyone else is going to drive at about that speed. They're not going to go too fast, although some people do, but not too far fast, because there's a law. And there are policemen patrolling to keep people driving that speed. And it means we all drive safely and get to where we're going to go safely. That's good. I was listening to a football match and I was thinking how I'm sure a lot of teams, players are glad and supporters are glad that there are laws of the game of football. Because there were no laws, there'd essentially be no game. Because people are so bothered about winning, they'd do anything to win. But the laws make it a better game that's more enjoyable to watch and fair and all of those things. We like laws. And we like justice as well. We like it when people are kept in line with laws. So when I see maybe this is a bit weird actually, not the best thing, when I see a police car with someone, pulled up, I think, good, they were probably speeding and they need to be told not to speed. Or when I hear that someone who's committed a horrible crime has been caught and put in prison, I think that's brilliant. I'm really glad that they've been caught and they're serving a punishment. So they'll know that they shouldn't do it, they'll learn that it's a bad thing and that they won't be out to do more crimes. We like laws. We like justice. Now, I want to tell you about my mum. My mum, I was going to say, actually, I want to tell you about a member of my family that I don't want to talk about, my mum. I've splurted that out by mistake. My mum is someone who slightly overreacts when she does something wrong. So she once came in from driving home from work, and she came in and she was all a bit of a flutter, and she's a bit kind of anxious and worried, and started talking, "Are you okay, mum?" She's like, "No, not really. I'm really not. What's wrong, mum? Why?" "Well, I was driving home at work, and I was expecting her to say something like, 'I was driving home from work and a child ran out in front of me and I almost ran them over, or something bad happened, like really awful happened.' She's like, I was driving home from work and I went through a red light and there was a police car there and they caught me." But she was all of a tears. She was like, "Oh, it's going to be awful. It's rubbish. I can't believe it. What's happened?" And I was like, "Oh, mum, it's okay. It's just 3 points on your license," or something like that. And I was thinking, hold on, maybe she's already... "Have you got any points on your license, mum?" She's like, "No, I've never had anything wrong." "Well, you'll be okay, mum. It's just a small little blip. It's okay. You've got plenty more space on your license. You know, you probably won't do it again ever because you're so worried about it. You'll be fine." I think that's how we normally think about the way we live the Christian life. I know it sounds a bit of a funny thing to say, but I will go about my Christian life, and there's this command, "You shall love your neighbours as yourself," that we're meant to do. It's God's law for how the world should work, if you like, how Christians should live. I should love Henry and Paul and Malcolm as I'd love myself. That's what I should do, and I should love everyone as myself. Neighbour is not just actually my close friends, but Jesus uses it as... uses the term to refer to enemies in Luke 10. So I should love everybody as myself. That's what I should be doing. And this passage says that if I break that law even a little bit, I've broken the whole law. Completely broken it. Because if you were to read around, it says, you know, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in at one point has become accountable for all of it." James uses an example. He says, "Don't commit adultery." He says, if someone says, "Don't commit adultery," and also, God, he says, "Don't commit adultery," also said, "Don't murder." If you do one of those things, and don't do another, well, it doesn't matter. You can't go, "Look how great I am! I've not committed adultery, but I have murdered." You've broken the law because it's the whole thing. But I think that we think much more like I reacted to my mum. So say, you've got people, a few people. So say here's my mum, who's generally a very good person. And we've got these other people here. And I think we think that a line, the law is like this long line here. And there's really good at the end here. And really awful down here. And although this says that if you fail at one point, you basically drop off the scale and you're off it, I'm not sure that's how we act. I think we act like I did to my mum. You know, it's just, if we do something wrong, if I try to love you, I do make a little mistake, and I'm just, I'm just a little bit off perfect here. Maybe that's where I am, and that's where you are, Henry and Paul. Maybe you're down here, or maybe you're up here. You're just doing good things or bad things, and you kind of, if you do a few more good things, well, you might not go any higher, but you'll stay where you are. You just, you know, it's all relative, and we're doing all right. And I reckon that's probably how we live most. That's how I think I live most days. I'm okay. Oh, I've done something wrong, but it's all right. I've done most things quite well today. I'm all right. It's a funny thing, but actually. The way my mum reacted, that which we would say is an overreaction, you know, because she's got loads of points of license, it's fine, is more like the way we should react when we mess up or we do even a little thing wrong. Because God says, as soon as we do one thing wrong, one tiny thing, as soon as we break this law a little bit, we may as well throw it all in. We've broken all of it. We're no longer a little bit further down. We're right at the bottom. And if I was to write the word sin or transgression, this would be like the transgression bucket, and we would all be in it, right at the bottom, squished down, couldn't go any further, because we've all broken this perfect law of God. Baby just crying there. Now, the people in James back then, this is what they were doing. If we were to read the bit before, which Paul preached on last week, the way they were breaking this law is they were being favourable to certain people over others. So rich people were being favoured more than poor people, for example. But that's breaking the law, because that's not loving your neighbour as yourself. That's not treating everybody equally in the sight of God. That's giving favour to one over another. But they must have been thinking, oh, it doesn't matter that much. It's all right, because we've kept everything else. We're generally doing pretty well, so it doesn't matter. And that's what James is trying to address. No, if you break one law, a little, even a little bit, you're in the transgression bucket. You're right at the bottom. You've broken it. You're the wrong side of the law, not the right side. Like, you know, if you were to see a Western film, you say, I've gone on the wrong side of the law. Everybody would be on the wrong side of the law. Like Jean Valjean, we should be chased down and caught. We're transgressors. Simple point, but it's right at the heart of this passage. That's what we're like. But I want us to see that although it would be perfectly fine for God at this point to go, just like we love justice, to mete out his justice and appropriately punish us, his people, for breaking the law, which would be perfectly fine and adequate and good. It would show him to be a good, perfect, holy, wonderful God that he is. He chooses to do something better than that, that shows him to be even more wonderful and glorious and perfect. Because he's a glorious God whose mercy triumphs over judgment, which is a little phrase we get right at the end of verse 13. Verse 12 asks us to speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. It's kind of a confusing phrase, a little bit of phrase, because we've just heard that the law is something that if you break, you are numbered like a transgressor. You've broken it. You're in the transgression bucket. So what is this law of liberty that he talks about in verse 12? It's something, seems to be different. The law of freedom, if you like. What is that? Well, I think it's the same law, but it's a different side of the law, if you like. And it's a law that's been completely fulfilled by Jesus. So if you were to look at the stories in the Old Testament when the law was given, it was never given to people who were all sorted in the first place. It was given to people who were rescued and brought into a promised land or delivered from slavery, so that they could live. Right at the heart of the law is God's rescue. And inbuilt into that law, even though it's this perfect standard, there are lots of clauses, lots of sacrifices to be done, lots of things to be done to deal with transgressions and sins. And what are they there for? Well, they themselves don't deal with the sins properly. The book of Hebrews and lots of places in the New Testament would say that they point to Jesus, who ultimately deals and fulfills the law and is exactly where they're all pointing. And it's in Jesus who lives a perfect life and fulfills the law for us, which enables us to have a freedom under it. That's all a bit confusing. I'm sorry about that. The point is as we see ourselves in the bucket, and we see the law that puts us there in the bucket, these rules, we need to look to the one who is the only person who isn't in the bucket. And that's Jesus. You see, God could have left us there and punished us. But instead, from the beginning of time, he devised a better plan, a more glorious plan, by which he would set in motion, if you like, a plan to redeem these people who are in the transgression bucket. And that would involve preparing the way for him coming down from heaven, becoming a man, the Son of God, and living a perfect life, keeping all the laws, every last one, always loving your neighbour as yourself, always doing it. Him being the only person that you'd ever think would be able to judge anybody, if you like. The only person ever to say, look, I've kept all these laws and you haven't. I am better than you. But instead, when this Jesus is kind of maligned, or when this Jesus is treated badly, when this perfect person who's always kept the law is dealt with unfairly, he doesn't push back, but he takes it. He lets it happen to him. He keeps his mouth shut. When he meets really unclean people who have definitely broken the law, he helps them. It's this Jesus who goes to the cross, this Jesus who takes the punishment that we deserve, the transgression bucket punishment, so that we, if we trust in him, don't have to face it. He keeps the law for us so that we, well, who can't, are freed from it, are given liberty, if you like, freedom from it in that way, from the punishment. So that we, who have done loads of things wrong, can be taken out of the bucket, and if you like, I don't know, left to live a free and happy life serving God, like we no longer have to pay the penalty for not keeping these laws. It's really simple in one way. We're like Jean Valjean. We're forgiven. All because there was one person who kept the law for us. But the thing is, I think we, in our heads, we'd all hear say we know that. We know that. That's true. Yet there's that second part of the Jean Valjean story, isn't there, where the bishop says, go and live a life now. Go and change your life around. What are the words that he uses? Let me just get them up. He says, where is it? Go and become an honest man, because I have bought your soul for God. I wonder, though, if we, even though we know all this, we struggle to live it out. So God has shown so much mercy to us. He's been so glorious and so wonderful where we could have had that, but he shows how amazing he is by going, I'm not going to give him that. I'm going to send my son to take the punishment for that, to give them something even better. We've been shown so much mercy that when it comes to other people, we really can't think of ourselves any better than them, can we? When it comes to the James issue, which is about showing, you know, giving favour to one person over there, everybody should be in the bucket. So even though you might be loaded, or you might be able to do me a favour, or you might be a really nice person to hang out with and not very smelly to hang out with, it might be that awkward to spend time with you, or whatever it is that was behind these issues, they are no excuse, because we're no better than anyone else. Not just that we're all made by God, but we've all completely turned away. We're all completely transgressed his boundaries. We're all completely in the bucket. So when it comes to treating others as we should be treated, there's even more reason to do it. Because we have been shown so much mercy. And James is so certain that we should show mercy that he writes the first part of verse 13, which is really hard-hitting. The Christian should show mercy to other people and not favoritism and not treat people, certain people better than others because, and he says, and this, and you should do it so much that judgment is that without mercy to the one who is shown no mercy. It's just like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? When we say we should, we ask for sins to be forgiven as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. It's when we're told by Jesus to love our enemies. If we don't get how much mercy has been given to us, we won't show mercy. And this is a barometer. And Jesus said, look, if you aren't doing this, it really does show what you actually think about Jesus and the Christian life, and whether you actually get it and you actually understand it and you actually believe it. Because you're all in the transgression bucket and you've been reached out. You're all the same. You're all really low down and you've been given mercy. And if you don't show mercy, then you probably don't get you're in the bucket. You probably have never realized that you're sinful. You probably don't realize that you've not loved people as yourself. You probably have never realized that you need to say sorry to God and ask for forgiveness. It's a helpful reminder, I think, that mercy isn't cheap, if you like. Jean Valjean goes on from that point and completely changes his life around in the story. But he's tracked down by some baddies who don't quite get that. But the point is, it made a difference what the bishop did for him. It turned his life around. I would love it so much if this stuff turned our lives around. Maybe our lives have already been turned around. But I would love it if it keeps turning our lives around and we keep changing our lives to try and be favourable to people we don't like. And it keeps turning our lives around so that we'll be kind to people even when it's hard. And we'll love people when they smell or whatever it might be. Because around here, it's not that easy to love everyone. It's hard. When I think about my life, I think it's much easier to love the people who are nice, who are friendly, who are easy to get on with, who will give me something back when I'm kind to them. So it is actually a real challenge. But wouldn't it be great if we all did that a bit more? In fact, it's a must. Because judgment without mercy is without mercy to the one who's shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Shall I pray for us? Lord, thank you so much for the mercy you've given us. We have, we often don't think like it, but we have completely transgressed your laws by just failing in one little point, but I've failed in loads. Lord, so help me to remember that, help us all to remember that you have done everything needed so that we can have mercy and that triumphs over judgment. But we pray, Lord, help us not to be slow in realizing what that means for our lives. Help us to be quick in the way that we show love to other people. Help us to be quick in treating people fairly. Help us to be quick to loving our neighbour as ourselves, even our enemies, even the people we don't like, even the people who it's hard to get on with. And we pray that as we do that, it would transform our communities and our church, and it would give you the glory that you deserve for giving us so much mercy. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.